It's Helping Hand, Fridays on All Things Considered, then online at hawaiipublicradio.org. We're continuing our Helping Hand special with a focus on one of the world's most trafficked animals, the pangolin. That trafficking has also been mentioned by the New York Times and others as a possible link to the spread of the coronavirus in China. The pangolin is the only scaled mammal and facing a global poaching crisis driven by demand in China. Some believe eating their scales has medicinal benefits, but there is no science to back that up, and many practitioners of traditional Chinese medicine agree. Tomorrow is World Pangolin Day, raising awareness about their plight, which has also gotten attention from the Global Environmental Reporting Collective, documenting investigations online at pangolinreports.com. Yesterday, we learned how these critically endangered animals are almost all bound for China. Today, we hear about the Asia-Pacific countries enabling this, where criminal police, businessmen, and online smugglers using WeChat play a major role in what has become a global extinction crisis, as we continue our Helping Hand special with co-founder Patrick Bowler of the Global Environmental Reporting Collective. At pangolinreports.com, in your Traffic to Extinction report, Malaysia, for example, in addition to a transit stop, actually home to a lot of native pangolins, or was home to a lot.
That's right.
The Malaysian University lecturer said that this recent Chinese demand has brought Malaysia's pangolins to the brink of extinction.
That is right. That's also why China has been considering uplifting the threat level of the Malaysian pangolin, because so many of these pangolins are going to China. But through our reporting in Malaysia, people are starting to say no. We have these indigenous communities, the Temiars, they link the pangolin to the reincarnation of the human placenta. It's very important to them and it's very rich in mythology. Some of them told us they'd rather lose the revenue but protect the animal. And that to us was a very, very moving revelation.
Yep.
And if you look at, for instance, Taiwan, one of the things they did is they provided alternative sources of income to the traffickers and poachers. So the problem slowly went away because people had alternatives. And that is perhaps a model for other countries.
But on the other side, corrupt law enforcement's often enabling what's happening. In one instance, on the Malaysia-Thai border, your investigative work suggests there's a larger smuggling ring made up of cops and law enforcement.
That's right. We talked to some of these officials, and they literally told us what it was like to facilitate the transport of these animals from Malaysia to Thailand. And then our colleagues in Thailand did some follow-up reporting, talking to the police. It turns out it is just this huge, huge market. And that is, again, something that is deeply worrying me when I think about this trade. They're the pangolins, and there's this huge market around them where so much crime can exist that is not seen, that is in the darkness. That is really worrying.
Equally worrying, at pangolinreports.com, you detail how in the Philippines, pangolins are hunted under the watch of local authorities.
I thought what's particularly interesting about the fantastic reporting by Rappler from the island of Palawan, they really look at the tensions that exist in environmental conservation, pits communities against their elected officials. So we have here poachers, but if the local politicians try to act, they will be punished at the ballot box because these communities, you're taking away their livelihoods. And I thought that was such an interesting case where elected officials don't have an incentive to crack down on poaching because of how the system is set up. And hopefully with our reporting, people are starting to talk about this issue, and we have some more reports coming up soon, and we're really hoping to move the needle a little bit in those communities towards awareness that this is wrong and what this is part of.
An official at Indonesia's Environment and Forestry Ministry is quoted in pangolinreports.com as saying, quote, Indonesia is the world's largest illicit exporter of pangolin meat and scales.
And that really points to the issue that if we then go back and look at our court records from China, they're not seeing much from Indonesia. So it remains a complete black box. And it was only thanks to the fantastic reporting by our colleagues at Tempo, who are deeply sourced and have contacts in the police, that we could find out more about these poachers' ties to organized crime.
One example of that is the owner of the frozen fish export company in Indonesia, a big businessman you found connected to big pangolin smuggling.
That is right. That is right. Our sources in the police have traced transfers in the millions of dollars between this man and his company is in suspected intermediaries. It's just extremely hard to pin down where the money really comes from.
You quote this guy, Emerson Tsai, executive director of the Philippine Center for Terrestrial and Aquatic Research. He reflected, it's usually the low-level poachers or smugglers who get caught. And he told you guys, quote, we have to find the ones who order the hunting, those who finance it, because if you don't arrest them, poaching will never end. And in any case that you covered, were any of the financiers or major players actually caught?
No, unfortunately, it's not a single case.
And a critical part of maybe the explosion of this, you point to the internet, and in particular apps hugely popular in China, like WeChat, a high-level Malaysian trafficker on the note of what you're talking about. They call themselves Kejora Pets. He advertises his animals on social media, complete with photos, fire sale style copy, and a phone number through which he takes orders on messaging apps. He receives payment via online bank transactions, arranges for delivery via third parties, never physically handles the animals. In short, the law is based on possession there, and so this guy can get away with that.
That's a very, very good point you make there. This is also a huge challenge for law enforcement, because if the trade is happening on WeChat in Chinese, imagine police in Cameroon or local police in Indonesia.
That's if the police aren't totally corrupt, like the picture you paint at a critical location, the Vietnam-China border, where it's almost all Chinese buyers you found.
That's right. Yes. This was one of the big surprises reporting this story at Vietnamese-Chinese border. You can really tell there's a long-running smuggling tradition at that border. The smuggling is completely in the open on both sides of the border. You can order on the one side of the border, or you can get the deliveries on the other. One of the main routes right now is the one going from the Laotian border through Vietnam to China. We collected media reports in Vietnam on arrests and seizures. We tried to visualize them. And if you follow those reports, you actually really see a very distinct route that these smugglers are taking, and they suggest a much, much bigger trade of pangolins coming from Laos and going through Vietnam to China. We still have some reporters in the field, and it looks like we'll be working on this for quite some time. The goal being that we really want to raise awareness on this complex issue.
And for concerned people who want to make sure you have funding to keep getting the pangolin story out there, can they contact you to provide financial support?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. That would be fantastic. Any support we get is highly appreciated. It doesn't go to any salaries. The funding that we have received has supported the reporting costs of our reporters in the field. It's paid for a Chinese journalist reporting in Vietnam. It's paid for reporters talking to poachers in Cameroon. We went undercover in Malaysia and bought a pangolin from a poacher. Of course, we handed him over to the authorities and reported this person's details. So it's also helped us free some pangolins. So yeah, absolutely. That would be fantastic.
You can offer support by emailing contact@pangolinreports.com and find their work at pangolinreports.com. At HawaiiPublicRadio.org, get the complete nearly hour-long interview, this two-part feature, their contact info, and all of our previous Helping Hand segments. We've been speaking with co-founder Patrick Bowler of the Global Environmental Reporting Collective about their investigation into the poaching and smuggling of one of the world's most vulnerable animals, the pangolin. As we wrap it up, is there a final point you'd like to offer?
I think the most critical point is that we need to think about these places where the pangolins are poached. These poachers, the low-level people, I'm not talking about the crime syndicates, but these poachers who hunt and sell the pangolins locally, we need to think about what else can they do? How else can they make a decent living? So if we want to really eradicate this problem and deal with the problem, I think it's very, very important to think about alternative sources of income for these people. It is really something that I've been thinking about all this time. Is there's this outrage in me, there's this rage because of this pointless trade. But then also on another level, these people in the markets in Nigeria, these indigenous hunters in Malaysia, they just want to make a living. So I think really part of this conversation has to be how do we help these people to find alternative sources of income?